Alrighty, so if you guys just want to introduce yourselves and like kind of give me some basic info and kind of talk about your like what you guys do. So.
Kelson, Cuz does from Appleton, Wisconsin. I went to UW Oshkosh, where I studied music recording and business and graduated as a super senior in 2019, 3 years prior meeting, well, 5 years prior meeting Evan, 3 years prior forming Diet Light and recording music and moving to Milwaukee, and now here we are still doing it.
All right.
Yeah. Wait, so actually what do you want us to say besides, where we're from? Anything specific?
I mean, yeah, you guys could just like talk about the band like a little bit like before the pandemic, basically like how you guys kind of got going and a little bit
Yeah,
about,
so
I guess.
I'm Evan. I do drums in the band. Obviously we all went to UWO. I studied marketing there. Yeah, and I handle most of our social media and whatnot.
And I'm Max from down south, down Illinois, coming to you. Yeah, I play guitar, I sing, write some lyrics, I play bass, do what I can.
All right. Well, then, other than that, obviously, something that he wanted us to ask is like how you guys are basically doing right now, like getting through this. I mean, as you guys as people, but also as a band as well.
I guess, I mean, is a band better than as a person? I think. But no, I mean, like, it sucked at first for the band just because, like, we were had a bunch of shows booked in Milwaukee and, like, we were, like, playing a bunch of shows in Milwaukee up right up until that point. Like, we played our last show, like, 2 or 3 days before everything went kaputs. So that kind of sucked, but it was also kind of like a blessing in disguise. Not really that, but like that's like what gave us the time to record the album that we just put out. Like we weren't playing shows every weekend because like, yeah, I'm down in Chicago. These guys are in Milwaukee. We only do things on the weekend, so like it was a good opportunity to
Yeah.
hunker down and record music
Actually,
as opposed to play
that
live
was
music,
good.
but.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of the songs in our set at that point, and obviously still now, consisted a lot of the newer stuff that wasn't available for streaming. So I feel like there was a weird disconnect between when we'd play a show and then people would go try to listen to stuff. So now we've definitely caught up a little bit. A lot of it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, going from banding actively to not banding at all with the pandemic, that was kind of shitty. Am I allowed to say that? Can I cuss?
You're okay. It'll be fine.
Okay, that was fucking shitty.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, watch
Because,
it.
dude,
Watch it.
okay, so
Yeah,
we
not
like
as you want. Our professors swear all the time anyways. Okay.
Fucking
Yeah, it's college.
bullshit,
It's
dude.
college.
I'm fucking
Bullshit.
sick of it. Fuck. No,
God damn.
but anyway.
Finally.
So yeah, but we went from banding all the time to not banding at all, and we got like pretty damn good at it like right before the pandemic hit. So then everything got shut down. We didn't play shows for a year, and then yeah, now we're back to sucking again.
We had to switch gears, but we recorded a bunch and we
Yeah.
made a bunch of goofy videos and like
Yeah, we got good at that.
we kind of redefined ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were definitely able, I feel like that's huge that we were able to really establish ourselves more on social media, which actually I think we did have a decent, social media presence before the pandemic. And then when it first started, like we weren't posting like at all for at least the whole summer, at least a while. And then I don't know, we all sat down in like December. We're like, all right, let's plan this shit out. Kind of got a calendar together, just kind of a general plan. And yeah, we've been kind of going forward from
Now we're a
there.
full-blown entertainment troupe.
Well, Evan, would you say that the videos that you're doing, trying to get like River Cuomo to do the duet, like, do you think that has been helping the band?
Oh, yeah.
That's the best thing we got going for us, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of people like in the comments that are saying, oh yeah, you gotta listen to Dialight, Dialight. It's like a lot of the people will be like, oh shit, you guys are actually good. Like, your music is actually good. I wasn't like expecting it, but you know, because I guess it's like one thing when some guy is just like, hey, go listen to my band, you know, you can only take his word for it. So, but then I'm really sure what I've been doing a lot recently is anytime somebody makes a comment like that, I'll reply to it with a video of the, you know, during the next day. So then everybody who sees the videos will see that other people are like, oh shit, this band's actually, you know, good.
Yeah.
So it just keeps reinforcing that. And, you know, I'm just going to keep doing that, I guess.
Don't tell anyone, but those are all Indian click farms that I hired.
I knew it.
Dude, the thing that really surprised me is, okay, so we just played a show in Madison this weekend, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. It was like freakishly good weather, almost got rained out, but it didn't. But there's like people that were coming up and saying, wow, you guys sound better live than you do on the record. And it's like,
I've always thought that. But I think live bands are, if you sound better live, that's the best thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think we have a pretty, we have good recordings, but like, I want to sound better live. Like,
No, it just kind of surprised me.
And you can get better recordings with, you know, the more attention you get and the more people that will get involved too. So back to that later. But you guys kind of answered question three for me. You know, what's it like being a musician during a pandemic? Well, I
come to practice.
It's a lot of pivoting. Like, you gotta like pivot your focus is the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
people. I mean, it's been good. I have been able to like focus on things I didn't focus on before. You know, when we were just gigging, like to, like, get show ready. Whereas like now I've been like had some time to like assess how I play guitar and sing. I'm like, I could be a lot better. Like,
dude, it really did sort of give everyone like this really introspective lens, like, whereas like, you know, like before the pandemic it was like, oh, let's play shows, let's get to know people, let's co-mingle, let's get our freaks on, and then the pandemic happened and then we sort of had to lock ourselves in our rooms for a year and a half, and well, I mean, I spent a lot of that time practicing, I know these guys spent a lot of that time practicing, and then just even as a band it was really just kind of like spending a lot of time like actually figuring out what the fuck we were doing, and then adjusting. Yeah, I mean,
do you think like other than just like practicing, I think, do you guys like think it made you more creative too, because it forced you to think outside the box kind of, because you guys had no ability to play a live show, so you had to get attention some other way?
Yeah, no, like it almost feels exactly. Like, I mean, there was kind of a lull there, but it almost feels like we just rode off the energy of what we were, you know, like playing in Milwaukee for the first time for the first like few months, and just like kind of like playing more and more, getting to know more and more people. Kind of felt like that momentum carried on. We just like found a different way to displace that energy or something, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or just that momentum that we had. Not that we're like, I don't know, not like crazy popular. I don't know. We haven't made it yet, but like, I don't know. Things are,
I feel like we've been gaining a lot of,
yeah, we didn't like a lot of basically like what I'm trying to get. It was like a lot of, I feel like a lot of musicians and a lot of bands like just kind of hit stop at the pandemic, or like not even that, but like we've been able to turn it to our advantage, I guess, or just make it productive, not even turn it to our advantage. We've been able to be productive in given the circumstances.
Yeah. I was on a
took advantage of,
sorry,
no, it was gonna be a joke, but I didn't.
Yeah, no. Every time I was like, oh wait, this sounds opportunistic. Like, I don't even know.
Weed. Never mind.
Well, no, yeah, I definitely support your guys' creativity. I don't know, but like the whole thing, like it's, you don't see a lot of people. I mean, yeah, a lot of musicians kind of just lock themselves away, and they're like, well, I guess we just have to wait. But you guys obviously couldn't really sit there and wait. You guys had to do something to still get people. Mm-hmm. Notice you, so yeah, I was really impressed by everything. But so moving on again for the sake of time, in your opinion, obviously you guys have been kind of dealing with some music venues. How do you think like the pandemic really impacted like the music venues as a whole? Like I guess in Milwaukee specifically, since you guys have been kind of talking with people recently.
Yeah, one of the
shut down.
Yeah, one of the first venues. I think it might have been It might have been the first venue we played.
Bremen was the first one that we did.
But Up and Under on Brady went under.
Yeah,
they
just
they were like that was a really
cool one.
they just moved locations.
They did just move. I forgot about that. Like, but I thought they like closed.
Wait, they moved? Yeah. No, they didn't. Where are they now?
They're planning to move. I remember Chelsea saying that actually.
Yeah.
Something happened with them.
Chelsea
owed money to the wrong crowd.
So other than what about the Cactus Club? I know you guys were. How are they doing?
We actually, it's funny because we did that video with Cactus Club, but I have never been there. I follow them on Instagram though, and they're doing like, I see that they're doing like all sorts of stuff like outside.
A lot of those bigger name places,
serving drinks and stuff like that. So like they're doing like, I mean, that's what like venues down here in Chicago too. That's just like what they're doing. Like,
so they're kind of doing the same thing you guys are doing, like getting creative, like.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to help you guys out because when everything opens, like if there's nobody like you guys to play, they're screwed too, I guess. So
it'll be
awesome that they're helping. Well, kind of, I guess helping, whatever you would call it. I guess all right for number five. I was gonna ask how's the pandemic altered your plans as a band and maybe personally as well.
I think our plans were just to keep playing shows, keep playing like as many shows as we can. But I feel like we kind of like realized there's a little bit more to it than just, you know, playing shows. As well as, I guess, you know, the whole record release. I don't know when we would have done that. I feel like honestly, I have no idea when we would have gotten all of that done.
Think we would have, dude. I think we'd still be working on it.
Yeah. It's just weird for us just because the way we have to budget our time, like we get a few hours a week get whatever chunk of things we got to get done. So it did kind of like, I don't know. Yeah. We've been nice and sequenced.
Yeah.
Now it's going to get crazy. Or not even, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it like we're kind of getting back to the point where we left off before. I mean, obviously, like pandemic's not over. Like, I still gotta get my second dose of that Pfizer.
Dude, this Thursday.
Like, I'm getting it tomorrow. I thought I wasn't gonna be able to get it. We actually, me and Kelsey actually just had COVID.
Kelsey, did you schedule yours?
No, not yet.
But
dude, just do it.
You guys had COVID?
Yeah, me and Kelso just had COVID, like,
that's another
like two or three weeks ago. Oh, really? Oh, shit. Well, sorry, man.
I wasn't even asked if you guys had COVID, but now that you guys just said you just had COVID, that we're going to move to that now, too. Well, how are you guys doing? You should have let off with that. Well, we just got over it.
Yeah. I'm trying to talk about my band. No, I'm kidding. No, Kelso gave it to me.
Yeah, we were making out pretty hard.
No, it was the band practice microphone.
And we were using the band practice microphone. Oh.
I went to put that made out.
That was pretty good.
Microphone.
I never got it, though. So.
Not yet.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I got the second dose on Thursday. I'm like almost out of the clear.
Dude, I was 2 weeks after getting my
first.
I was 2 or 3 weeks after getting my first dose, and I still got it. I'm gonna be fucked.
Evan got enough exposure to be good.
But... Sorry, David. I feel like I could be way more G-rated.
No, oh, God. You guys, this interview is not good. Well, actually, it might be. Well, who knows? I can't remember fully if this is going to be the actual one or if it's going to be just all my notes, but sorry, Professor Cantwell. But anyway, so moving on from there, well, then you guys, if you guys are getting vaccinated and everything, kind of getting out of that sickness, and I say you guys are booking shows, so things, I guess, are getting kind of back to normal, but still kind of.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, we like, we have a lot of, I guess, outdoor stuff booked through the summer. It's all outdoor stuff. Come yeah. like fall, we do have like Milwaukee clubs are starting to like book again, and we have some date, like optimistic yeah. dates there pretty much. Mm-hmm. I feel like you really got to hope by like September, October, we'll be able to.
I honestly like at the rate that people are getting vaccinated now, like,
dude, it's slowing down though. It's slowing down. I mean, not that I don't know if that's going to like affect that well, that many months down the line, but like,
I heard that like mid-July, there'll be like 70-80% people vaccinated by like mid-July.
Dude, I just saw something, I mean, I don't know, inflammatory news, but like I saw something, we're not going to reach herd immunity, like at the rate, like we're going, like enough people are just like not getting
gonna
it.
Get it to where yeah. it's still going to be an issue.
Or like only getting their first.
Don't you need 80% or like 85%?
It's like, I've seen like it's between like 70 something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're aiming.
Oh, higher? Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. I just read headlines on Facebook.
I usually just go to my favorite QAnon group chat and read the comments.
That's where the meat is.
Dude, I saw this one post. It was talking about Biden's. Well, actually, it was a video of Biden giving a speech about, you know, the four additional years at state-funded education. And it was a repost from Ben Shapiro. So I went through the comments on that, and they were all just like, oh, my God, Biden's tearing this country apart. There's like this one lady that posted, how about instead of 4 years of extra education, we just bring back the draft and teach kids how to work
yeah, we
the
need-
right way.
We need men to start being men again and going buying like one piece of like wood from Home Depot.
Yeah. And then with a big piece of wood under my arm.
And he brings it on a plastic bag instead of just carrying it.
Yeah, it's like on top of the bag.
Oh, she was an alien. But anyway, so going from there, like, well, Kelso, you kind of already did that in the beginning, but what has frustrated you guys the most about the pandemic?
Kelso. No, I'm kidding.
Other than not being able to play live shows.
Yeah.
I think it's just the effect of just not being able to do things. Like, you can't just go out and just do something, you know? You can't really, like, plan big events and things. It's just there's more, you know, hoops to jump through.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, I don't even know, just something like, obviously with the band, like, just like, want to be gigging, want to be like out there, like, was hoping to like do a tour this summer, you know. I was like looking like a year ago looking to
yeah
but like I don't know, as a person I'm kind of like past the point of being frustrated about it, and I'm like getting to the point where
yeah, I feel like
I'm just like appreciating the little things that are slowly trickling in that I'm like, oh, I can do this again. Like, I
don't know. Yeah. I feel like we'd have had different answers at, you know, different points of the past year.
Yeah.
Because now it's at the point where it's like, you know, people are getting vaccinated and stuff. And I don't know. I feel you could, like I said, you could see the light at the end of the tunnel. So it's, yeah. I think there's less to be frustrated about. It's kind of, I'm at least cautiously optimistic.
I mean, maybe that's like a privileged thing of me to say, because I haven't been like affected by it, other than like I was pretty tired for a couple weeks, but like I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
From my perspective,
I feel like I haven't known anyone super like, seriously affected.
Yeah, I really haven't either, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, it seems like what you guys were kind of saying before, that you guys, it kind of forced you to get the album done, be a little bit more creative, have more of like a social media presence. I feel like, yeah, if anything, I feel like the pandemic kind of helped a little bit more. So being, I guess, regular with it wouldn't be as much of a reality as
probably some bands.
Not saying, I mean, it's just you guys were establishing your presence in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like for every one to just have to stop, like, all at the same time where we were at, and then like kind of just how we decided to utilize that time.
I think it kind of leveled the playing field in a way, because at that point, like, I guess, like, other people had, like, you know, if you were a bigger band, you had obviously bigger reach. But, like, everybody else that was kind of, like, a smaller band, like, was kind of just thrown into the same position where, like, you don't really have any other options to get your music out there. You know what I mean? So I think it's people who really learned to establish themselves on social media will benefit greatly in the next years to come, and the people who didn't won't. I was going to go
on that front. It's a big part of it, but yeah.
No, I, yeah, honestly, in the museum world, like, I've been seeing more museums trying to move on to, like, a social media, even, like, on TikTok today. I saw a really funny, like, museum, like, I can't remember which museum it was, but they did a really funny video, like, something that normally, like, museums wouldn't do, but it,
mm-hmm.
it was really popular. And I just think, like, that's just the way to go for people that don't have, like, the ability to advertise themselves, like, a lot, like, museums or bands and people who don't have a lot of money.
Yeah. How many museums?
The arts.
Dude, how many museums do you think went under?
Oh, dude, they estimated, I can't remember how much, but it was a decent chunk. And mainly a lot, it's not like
all the smaller museums. Like,
yeah.
Not necessarily always the small ones, because sometimes the bigger ones have to obviously pay more, and they have bigger collection, they have more employees.
Why don't they just sell their art?
A lot of them have, actually. There's been quite a few that have been selling them. Ethically, you can look at that one way or the other, but I mean, some of them, they try to do as much as try to sell it as ethically as possible, I think. But yeah, I did see some art museums sell their stuff over the course of the pandemic. Which is desperate. But you got to do what you got to do. Keep the doors open. In fact, we just did a strategic plan for a museum that's not even open yet. Oh, it's America's Black Holocaust Museum, and we just started presenting that.
That's like right around the corner.
That's what that is. I've been always wondering, like, what that is.
What's going to be in there? Like, what's their exhibits going to look like?
Oh, I thought that was already open.
They've been around since the 80s. It was started by a guy named, his name's Dr. James Cameron. But he was a survivor of a public lynching, very famous public lynching. Actually, he was like one out of three. He was like 13 years old back in like 1933. And then it was like, basically just, it changed his entire life, obviously. So he decided to create a museum after visiting like another Holocaust museum, and decided to make one about like the African-American experience. So literally it's a museum that covers 400 years of African-American history. It's a nationally recognized museum, so
that's like literally right around the corner from our house.
I drive by it every time I like get off
we're literally
heading to their house on North Avenue, right?
We're literally presenting an external I'm presenting an external assessment to the board next week. So yeah, we did like a full strategic plan, our whole class did. It's going to be like
nice.
Or whatever, how long it's going to be, but it's going to be long. moving on, since I don't know if this thing is going to cut us off. I hope not.
I think 40 minutes is the the limit.
Oh, here we go. So what about your experience has like kind of felt like universal, kind of so like everybody else in the country, or maybe the global? Well, it's kind of hard to, I guess, say global, maybe more country or Wisconsin. And then kind of going from a little bit more specific than that, like any kind of similar, did you share any similar experiences with other bands or like musicians? Kind of
it's just
universal feeling.
I guess just like not being able to do what you want to do and sort of having to take a pause is pretty universal. But then there's also the other side of it, where, you know, people are still doing what they want to do at the expense of everyone else. And then it ended up fucking over the rest of us. I feel like that's pretty shared against all walks of life amidst this whole pandemic fiasco.
That's a good point.
Outside of that, I don't know. I guess drinking a lot in the beginning of a lot of alcohol abuse. That makes me seem like sound like an alcoholic as I'm drinking my beers on camera, but
no,
I feel like everyone was kind of hitting the bottle in those first couple months. Like
they're hitting a lot of stuff. Let's just say that.
hitting a lot of kids.
Toilet paper. Kids. I know you guys. I know that obviously I know your humor. I'm not gonna be reading. These guys are completely alcoholics. What? Oh, thanks, Zoom.
Upgraded. Hey.
Hey, there you go, Zoom. Oh, wait, yeah, I think because
upgrades, people.
Because the whole pandemic right now, like they're just like, yeah. We know that you guys are doing everything over Zoom. Wow. Well, all right. Well,
did anybody else's connection get fucked?
No, mine's fine right now.
Didn't either, Nick Cable.
Okay, I don't know. David was just in slow mo for like a while.
Oh, that's probably my Wi-Fi. It's not the greatest. Thanks, Troy. I don't know if you guys know Troy in Pebbler Properties, but my landlord's gonna be in this now. okay, so for number eight, do you guys remember the moment that you really realized that, like, oh crap, this is big and this is really going to change everything? And we got to, like, I know Max, you kind of mentioned that, like, you guys had dates scheduled right before, shows scheduled right before everything.
Yeah, I remember, dude, we like had that show and we posted it in the Facebook group, like, kind of like, almost half jokingly that we wanted people, you know, like we'll have hand sanitizer there. And I
originally brought some. It was a joke. It was a joke.
Like, yeah.
And it was, that whole weekend was crazy for me because like we were playing that show and I was supposed to, me and my girlfriend were going to go on like a spring break trip to North Carolina. And we were supposed to leave like the day after the show, spend the weekend there. And before we went to the show or like at the show before we went on, like our Airbnb canceled. She's like, I don't think it's a good idea if you guys like come down here, like given what's going on. And that was like the first like, oh shit, like I can't like, you know, like the first cancellation, yeah. The first closure. And then like I was in Wisconsin, like we ended up going, I was just in Wisconsin the whole weekend. And then when I like got home, like literally as I was driving home back into Illinois, like all the stay at home orders were issued. And I was like, oh, whoa, like I just like came home to a whole new world. It was kind of a weird way to like experience that whole few days of turmoil.
I remember my boss, we were just like at work, just, you know, working, and my boss like called everybody up and kind of explained what was going on. He was like, hey, this shit's going down, we're sending everybody home. And then we worked like half days for like 2 weeks. And then we just got sent home completely when the, you know, obviously the whole ass shutdown happened. So, yeah.
Dude, for me, like it was the slow, the slow decline because, okay, I was working in a hotel kitchen at the Pfister Hotel for, like 6 or 7 months. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know you had the Guido Pfister.
Yeah, I was working at the Guido Pfister. It was an interesting experience, actually. Story for another time, but
well, it's a part of
the like shit started first occurring. You know, first began to tip its toe into the big pool that we call the rotating oscillator. but that was in January, and like, dude, I almost like I had this hunch the whole time that shit was gonna like go horribly bad. And like, sure shit, over the course of like the next 6 or 7 weeks, like more and more things started to get like closed down about the Pfister. And like the whole time their upper management there just like wasn't doing, like they were basically just ignoring the fact that their house was on fire. Like they were just sitting there like, oh, this is fine, this is perfectly fine. And then eventually it wasn't fine and basically all of their staff got laid off. I mean, they got a PPP loan.
They got a PPP. So like,
they got lots of P. But yeah, so they were able to like pay their staff for a while and then everybody got fired anyways, so I think we're like right around like early February is when actually, I'm like, all right, something isn't right.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was like actually
early February, dude. This shit didn't start till March.
It was like mid-March. It was like,
because I remember St. Patrick's Day when the news started starting to break.
Well, that's when they're like, oh, there's a little thing coming out of China. And I was like, oh, it's just going to be SARS or Zika again. Just be a little thing.
Yeah.
SARS was not a little thing.
I mean, not a little thing, but I mean, it didn't shut down the whole world. You know,
because I remember actually,
I think the worst or like the most impactful thing is when they stopped professional sports, because then it was like, oh shit, like big companies are like taking the suit. Like, there's a lot of money riding on professional sports, obviously, and just to shut that shit down completely,
dude. Yeah, I mean, like those cruise lines got bailouts and the airlines, all those big fish got bailed out,
yeah.
And everybody else in the bottom was like,
yeah. Oh, here's some wall. $1,200 for 3 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always just think of that meme from Arrested Development. It's like, how much could it be? Like $10?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hang on just 1 second. I've been taking notes like crazy. You guys are like, I have like already 3 or 4 pages. So
nice.
Wow.
We're almost at the end here. So this interview is only going to be about 45 minutes to an hour anyway. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, show.
Well, actually, before that, I'm going to ask a specific question since we got a little bit of time, I guess. I'm going to ask specifically about the promotion that you guys did with the doctor, because I'm going to actually include that video in my crisis collecting, because it's just so perfect for the archive itself, like just blending the music world with the actual medical world. They had time to, you know, stop what they were doing, and, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so just tell me how you guys like got that going, and, you know, what it was like.
Well, I mean, the idea came from the show Nathan For You, where he just does, you know, crazy, you know, marketing ideas to, you know, sell a product. And I think the one that specifically inspired that was, you know, the ghost realtor, where they're like, she like goes into houses and like tells people that this is ghost free. So like, oh, well, we could, you know, COVID is like obviously always in the news. It's a huge thing. So to get the album approved COVID-free would, you know, number one, be funny, because obviously it's sound and it can't have a disease in it. and just to go, I think the funny part of it is just going to the actual links to contact a doctor and get them to listen to it, and then get them to actually make a video saying that. That's really the humor in it comes from. But I basically just, I went on a Facebook group for the TV show, and I kind of explained what was going on, tried to see if anyone knew a doctor there. Nobody knew a doctor there. And I was asking people around if they knew a doctor. And I went on to the subreddit for the TV show, and I asked the same thing. And some guy was like, yeah, I'm a doctor. I'll totally do that. So I was like, awesome. Yeah. And I kind of gave him a general guideline of what to do and kind of what to wear and kind of how to do the video. And then, you know, a couple of days later he sent it out, and then me and Kelsa went on the backyard and recorded my, you know, introduction a little bit there. And then, kind of edited it, put it out there for the world to see. That was kind of pretty much the process of it.
What kind of doctor was he? Do you know? Can't be that busy.
I don't know. He definitely was a medical doctor. Yeah, I think he was. I think he's a surgeon.
I was gonna say, didn't he say he was like an ER surgeon or something?
Yeah, he says it in the video. He says it in the video. I can't remember exactly, but he's an ER surgeon. But honestly, I would have taken anyone with a PhD. You know, I think it might have almost been funnier if it wasn't an actual medical doctor, even though it was just like a doctor,
like one of my professors.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just, anyone who was doctor in their title would have worked, but it did work out really well with, you know, he had the lab coat and the stethoscope around his neck and everything. So,
and he just played it so perfectly.
Oh yeah, he was like deadpan and everything.
Oh yeah. It almost felt like it was something out of like It's Always Sunny kind of.
Yeah. Like, he said if we're ever playing a show in LA, then to hit him up and he'll come see us. Yeah, so if we ever get out there, I'll hit up
Dr. Daniel.
Exactly. Good old Danny boy.
So
what does a doctor's salary get you in LA?
Probably a lot.
A lot.
I don't know about the doctors.
Maybe two baths. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure he's got a nice pad.
Better than a doctor in history salary, that's for sure. Alrighty, well then, just the final two questions here. So what do you guys hope changes once the pandemic is over? And I guess, like, what do you hope remains the same?
I think I'd like, you know, people's perspectives on just kind of, hold on, I'm trying to, Max, you go first. I'm trying to formulate a thought right now.
I'm trying to formulate a thought right now.
What I wish.
Yeah, you, Kelsey, you go.
What I hope changes are the mindsets of the idiots that just refused and denied truth that was handed to them. You know what I mean. And what I wish stays the same. Fuck, I don't know.
I think it'd be nice if something specific that change would be just people's perspective on. I don't want to necessarily say like the government's role in society, but like, you know, something that specifically stuck out to me at the very beginning when everybody was ordered to go home, but they didn't provide any assistance whatsoever. It's like, here, you can't work your jobs. You can't do any of this stuff, but good luck. You know what I mean? Like, I just hope that people kind of have a more helping perspective. I don't know if that makes sense.
Dude, the United States are just too big, too decentralized. Yeah, I don't know.
This kind of sounds like our classes where it's like towards the end of like, well, what's wrong with museums? And then it just by the end of the class, it's like, we're just bitching about capitalism. That's like, whole thing. It's just like, well, if they gave us some money.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, I don't know if I'll spiral into all that, but like, I hope we kind of realize that, like, in one way or another, what we're working with is kind of broken. And
yeah,
that's what I like. A lot of people, I feel like, have kind of realized.
And like, a lot of, and it's not like shattering news for like most people or even anyone really, but it's like just a very, there's been not even just like one, but a series of very glaring examples in different realms of life that have just been like,
healthcare,
something needs to be changed and addressed here, or we're sending ourselves towards.
I think this like this whole kind of like things shoved it in the face of people, where it was like these things, a lot of things were just kind of talking points before. Now they have real experience in like struggling through something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even people who like empathize with that kind of thing, they now experience it, so their feelings towards it are even more strong. You know.
Yeah.
So you just hope that people like don't like change that coming out of the pandemic, that they like remember all the hardships, like what the government, what happened with like other people not listening, and just kind of remembering that and not forgetting that once everything is over, kind of a thing.
Yeah, they will. They'll forget it. They will. Like, you gotta hope they won't.
Apathy is like
every election.
Yeah,
we're at.
Apathy is the anti-grease to the squeaky wheel. Like, it just makes it way squeakier and way more stuck. But unfortunately, it's like a natural state of being for 99% of the population.
What I'd like to stay the same is live music, baby.
I'm actually
going to do
that as a quote. Dude, you just shorted out the fuck, Kelsey. You just like shorted out my computer from that.
That's going to be a good quote for the end. Live music, baby. You guys are going to be some good stuff. Yeah, so I don't know if I told you what I'm doing for like the mock exhibit. Oh, well, I don't know if Max and Kelso know, but I kind of want to – we have to create a mock exhibit based on the things that we're doing with these. What?
Nothing.
Oh. No, so I want to set this up like if you were going to walk into the gallery space, it would look like a – kind of like a stage with like a brick wall in the back and, you know, instruments in the corner, microphones. Oh, nice, nice. Some neon maybe. And, yeah, just kind of have – I would like to like, you know, put – different signage from across Milwaukee, from like the Cactus Club, Rave, Summerfest, just like canceled events, like posters with stuff that are canceled, or you can put like tape over it. And, social media posts of people complaining about not being able to see their shows. In fact, for my mock exhibit, I think your guys's interview is going to be contributed into it. So, yeah.
So you're doing like a whole like setup exhibit thing, like for it. That's cool. Like, you should send us a picture of that once it's set up. I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to be, how it's going to be fully done. It's more of like an imaginative thing, but I can still send you guys like the finished product since I think some of the stuff he will be using and some of the stuff that we're collecting, I believe he will be using for a bigger project. So either way, you guys will be included in all this stuff. And I don't know, is there anything else that you guys wanted to kind of talk about or add before... we've been talking for about like 45 minutes now, so
nothing specific, I don't think.
Yeah, I could, we could just like plug our shit, but I don't really feel the need to do that.
Well, yeah, what is like, you can just give the name of your album, just where you guys can check it out.
It seems to be the way it tends to go. Stream it wherever you stream your stuff. Everyone? Spotify, iTunes Music, or Apple Music.
Those are the two. At Diet Light Music.
Idol.
Yeah.
While we're here, just want to take a brief moment to commemorate the... Okay.
Kelso, your shot looks really nice. Can I just say?
Wait, really?
Yeah, you have a night like.
Oh, yeah, it looks like you're legit doing a podcast.
It looks pretty cinematic.
I think it's because of the mic stand he's got.
Yeah, and just the angle of it too. I feel like you got a nice look. You got a nice look.
Yeah, I feel like we're on Joe Rogan. Oh. Alrighty, well, I got nothing else for you guys. Thank you guys so much for doing this. This was actually a lot. You guys gave me a lot more answers on other things than I thought that you would.
Nice.
So, it'll be good for juxtaposing some of the stuff in the mock exhibit. So, all right. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks for including us.
Yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to start. We'll be moving down to Milwaukee this summer. So we'll see you guys then. And
hopefully, no way.
Nice. Yeah.
You and Amy?
Yeah, we gotta find a place still. We got a couple places in mind, but not 100% sure where we want
to go.
Brewer's Hill.
That's where we're at. I mean, actually, I don't know. These houses are kind of big. I don't know if two people could pay the rent realistically. Yeah. You can probably find somewhere cool on River West or the east side, though.
Yeah, we were thinking about Bayview, too. Mont Lizzie also.
Oh, yeah, that's where Mott's up at, yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Dude, so many people are getting down here.
Yeah.
Like, recently, like... Allison Keekstra just moved down here too, and obviously Mott.
The Clay and Justin Exodus
moving here. Seriously, like, aren't Clay and Justin moving down here? And fucking, what's it? Why can't I think of Justin's girlfriend name?
Hang on, I'm just gonna stop the recording.
Marky.